Welcome back. Our guest this time each week, I'm very happy to say, is our friend Gordon Chang, one of the country's preeminent authorities on matters involving Asia, specifically China, but more broadly, fortunately for us, because there's a lot of stuff that's happening. Gordon is a columnist for The Daily Beast, a contributor to Fox and to Forbes.com and WorldAffairsJournal.com, the author of The Coming Collapse of China and Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. Gordon Chang, thank you so much for joining us. Good to have you back.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Well, where to begin? I guess with the latest developments involving this drone that the communist Chinese seized on the high seas from an American ship doing oceanographic research. Tell us what's up with that, Gordon, and where things stand at the moment and where you think they're likely to go.
It's just been announced that the Chinese will return the drone tomorrow. That'll be day five. That'll give them plenty of opportunity to open the drone and to download its contents. Donald Trump said in a tweet Saturday evening that the Chinese should keep it. What he was trying to do, I think, was to say, look, I know, China, you're trying to use the drone as a bargaining chip. I'm going to take away your leverage. But of course, this is a sovereign Navy vessel, sovereign U.S. property. We need to get it back under all circumstances. And so clearly we are going to get it back, but this is not the end of the story. What we need to do is impose costs on China, because otherwise they'll take sovereign U.S. property in the future.
Let me just get at the larger question here, which is, why on earth did the Chinese take this thing in the first place? Is this all about provoking the United States? Was it some sense on the part of a local commander? Or do you think this would have had to have been ordered at the highest levels of the Chinese government to seize American property in this very blatant and quite aggressive way?
We really didn't know until Saturday, because Saturday, China held its first national conference on underwater drones. So clearly, this is no coincidence. The taking of the drone had to be authorized from the highest levels of the Chinese political system, because this was orchestrated. Now, there have been incidents in the past where the U.S. Navy has felt were really the work of local commanders. But this one really looks like it was premeditated.
And again, was it designed to provoke the United States to sort of be a throwdown to President-elect Trump, or a parting shot at Barack Obama? I mean, well, give us a sense of how you think this was being calculated in those senior levels at Beijing.
Yeah, we really don't know what the motivation was for this, but that probably what they're trying to do is to tell the U.S. Navy that we do not want drones anywhere near China. But we've got to remember, Frank, that this was extraordinarily brazen. You know, China has this ludicrously expansive nine-dash line claim to about 85% of the South China Sea. And that claim was invalidated by the Hague arbitral ruling on July 12th. Well, the taking of this drone occurred outside the nine-dash line, which means China is basically saying that any water in the world is Chinese. And we got to remember that the Chinese are broadening their definition of what is core interest. And clearly, they're not going to stop until we stop them. You know, a lot of people say that this was a reaction to Donald Trump. You know, very well it could have been, but it doesn't really matter. What this was an act of war against the United States, and we should be treating it with such seriousness, which doesn't mean we need to go to war over it, but it does mean we need to impose costs so that China doesn't do this again.
Gordon, speaking of that nine-dash line, one of the other news items out of your portfolio this week has been fresh evidence that the Chinese are, in fact, militarizing the man-made islands they've developed over the past year or two in much of the South China Sea, and from which they are, as you say, asserting not only dominion and exclusive rights, but apparently now are prepared to project power. Give us a flavor of what you think is going on there and what, again, it might mean for U.S. interests and U.S. policy in the future.
Well, China certainly is militarizing these features in the South China Sea. They're putting anti-aircraft and cruise missiles on these islands. It looks to be like a defensive measure, but also these cruise missiles can be used against shipping, specifically the U.S. Navy. And in any case, this is a violation of the pledge that Xi Jinping made to President Obama last September in the Rose Garden. At this point, the United States probably is going to need to encourage its friends and allies in the region to militarize their features to neutralize China's gains here. You know, we don't want to kill Carl, but nonetheless, at this point, I don't see any way of countering China except getting Vietnam, Philippines, and other claimants to also fortify their possessions there.
Let me ask you about one other topic that you've written about recently at Forbes.com, Gordon, and that is the knock-on effect, if you will, of the decision by the Federal Reserve Board here under Janet Yellen to raise interest rates. You indicate that it's having a very pronounced and quite negative effect in the Chinese bond market. Talk about that, if you would.
Thursday, the Chinese bond market would have collapsed had not the Chinese government intervened with injecting short-term money, about $22 billion on Thursday, the day of the near collapse, and something much bigger on the order of $60 billion on Friday. What's happened is that China's economy is very fragile. There's a lack of confidence. And when Yellen increased interest rates on Wednesday, but also authorized some pretty hawkish comments about interest rate increases next year, that has triggered a sell-off in global bond markets and the problems in China. For the first time ever, Frank, China had to stop trading on its benchmark 10-year bond futures as well as its 5-year bond futures. And this is unprecedented. We're going to see more problems because Monday, the bond market, the 10-year dropped 1.1% in addition to the fall on Thursday. This is going to be serious because Chinese leaders don't have an answer. The only thing they can try to do is prevent money from leaving China. They haven't been very successful about that. We could see close to $1 trillion of capital outflow this year, which would match last year's unprecedented money leaving China. So this is a crisis that is occurring in slow motion. But nonetheless, China has no answer for it.
And China has obviously limited ability to continue to prop up that bond market, doesn't it, Gordon? I mean, as you say, the economy is precarious at the moment. What other vehicle do they have short of trying simply to, seize assets as people try to move them offshore?
Well, they could very well try and do that. At this particular time, in the bond market itself, they have the tools to prevent short-term problems, as we saw on Thursday and Friday. They can just print a lot of cash and inject it in short-term facilities, and that has calmed the market, at least to some extent. But they can't deal with the broader issue, which is a lack of confidence in the economy and in the political system. And so, therefore, we have seen this unprecedented net capital outflow. The only solution would be structural reform, but structural reform would tank the economy in the short term, and indeed, it would be short-term reform is not possible within the context of the Chinese political system. Xi Jinping is not a reformer. Many people think he is, but I don't think he is because he hasn't really pushed the country toward reform. And right now, the economy is not strong enough to handle it.
Gordon, the magnitude of this is simply stupefying. But again, subject for a further conversation with you. Thank you for the one we've had today and for all your good work. We'll be talking to you, I think, afresh in the new year. In the meantime, my best to you for all that you've done for us for 2016. And we look forward to a very, very profitable conversation and partnership with you in 2017 as well. Thank you, Gordon Chang. We'll talk with you soon. We'll talk with the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.